Hi everyone, welcome back to Idol Talk, where we explore South Korean pop culture, one obsession at a time.
Today's episode is in partnership with California Love, K-pop Dreaming. How did K-pop transcend continents to become the global sensation it is today? Host Vivian Yoon shares the history of how the genre came to dominate the charts and explores her own story of what it means to be a Korean-American today. Listen to California Love, K-pop Dreaming from LAS Studios, wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hi, everyone. My name is Nathan, and I'm your host.
Hey, everyone. I'm Ashley, and breaking news as of today, May 3rd, I is enlisting in the military next week, May 11, due to a recent change from the Military Manpower Association. Yeah. Something did happen, and I've been like trolling the internet to figure out where, like, what the specific change was, because I want to understand like how this affects other idols, 94 line idols, but I can't find it. All I can find
I'm sure it'll come up, but he definitely was not planning for this.
No, he went on V Live and cried. He was planning.
Well, not V Live. It doesn't exist anymore.
I mean, not V Live. He
Instagram,
went on
probably.
Live somewhere.
Yeah, somewhere.
And he cried. There was supposed to be an full EXO comeback this year, but now that's on hold. SM put out a statement saying, once they figure out the new schedule, they'll let us know. But it's all very sudden.
Yes.
And even Kai can't process it.
Yeah, he can't.
He can't.
Bawling his eyes out.
Poor guy.
Okay, we'll have another roundup about that as more details come up. Gabe.
Hey everyone, it's Gabe. I'm back after a little bit of a break. And I just wanted to alert everyone that Dreamcatcher has a comeback in 3 weeks. I think the album drops on May 24th. I saw some of the initial kind of teaser pictures, and it looks to be kind of a departure, like a summary type concept. But I mean, you never know. They might have more teasers that are just, you know, the dark concept stuff. But so far, it looks like a summer comeback. So I'm excited to see what happens.
It is really getting to summer, but
I know. And where's the Oh My Girl comeback? It's May.
It is late spring transitioning.
I know. What's going on with them? I feel like they've just fallen off.
I think they release like some kind of anniversary project thing, but it wasn't really like a formal comeback. So,
yeah,
going on
I
here.
Don't know.
Okay. Thank you to our listeners. There is so much going on in terms of comebacks and comebacks that are forthcoming, but we got to wrap up something first as a podcast. So we are going to do our roundup of Mnet's Boys Planet Survival Show. And we previously talked about them in episode 114. So this will be part two of that. So feel free to give that a listen. But Ashley and Gabe are going to first start us off by rounding up the middle to late sessions of the show. And Ashley is going to start us off.
Yeah, so our last recording, episode 114, ended after the first elimination, and I'm going to be covering the middle of the show, like episodes 6 through 9 or whatever. And right after the first elimination, they go into another challenge called the dual position challenge, where they break up into three different teams: vocal and rap, vocal and dance, rap and dance. And each of those like categories has certain songs that they need to perform. And those songs were G-Idle's Tomboy, B.O.'s Limousine, Infinite's Man in Love, High Four's Not Spring Love or Cherry Blossom with IU. That was the vocal and rap song choices. The vocal and dance song choices were BTS's Butterfly, Twice Feel Special, Monsta X Love Killers, and 17 Home. And then lastly, the rap and dance song choices were Gang from Higher Music, Rush Hour by Crush and J-Hope, Law by Yoon Mi-rae and BB, and then Jessie's Zoom. So as you can see, it was a lot pretty exciting because there were a bunch of female songs that these male idols had to perform. The way that they were chosen for this, the way that they got to pick what song they were able to perform was by like ranking. So number, I don't know, like the last person in line got to pick first. Mm. And as the songs like position started to fill up, like you could kick someone out of a group that you wanted to be in. So obviously, like once you got to the last top 10 people, those people all like secured spots in songs that they wanted.
And wait, so it was reverse order, but the people that went last got to choose whatever they wanted?
Yeah, because you could kick anybody out at that point and they had to move to whatever available spot was left.
That's so sad. That defeats the purpose of letting the underdogs trying to, you know, get their first pick. Okay,
the most popular song was actually G-Idle's Tomboy.
Makes sense.
Surprisingly. And so they performed those songs. Oh, and they also had each group song had to have some sort of creative element, like they had to change a rap or create choreography themselves within the song. So when they performed it, there were like a little bit of differences from the original. The winning team, so within each category, the winning team got extra bonus points towards their overall score and then got to perform their song on M Countdown.
Mm.
So the winners were Tomboy from the vocal and rap category, Love Killa from vocal and dance, and Law from rap and dance. And then the highest ranking member in each group got an additional like 150,000 points on top of like the bonus points that their group got.
So free pass for this round, basically.
Yeah, basically.
Free pass for this elimination.
Yes. I want to say that all of them, like all the performances were pretty good, but the standout ones for me were Tomboy, because it had like literally top five, like top four of the, I think the four members were all ranking 1 through 10. Like they were really good. Avengers, mm-hmm. like ranking. Love Killa by Monsta X was really good too. And Sammy, my sister, she really liked Jessie Zoom.
I loved that one.
Yeah. She really liked the English rap by Ollie. Yeah. And she likes the center, the guy who does the killing part, which I did not like him, but she was like in love with him.
I liked how it was a solo song, so by nature it was going to be really different and novel. So it felt really fresh to me.
Yeah. I like that Wumuti kid did a little TT move. What, like anti-fragile? I love that. But
TT, oh, not TT, not TT.
No, not TT, like anti-TTT. Yeah. But yeah. Did you like any performance, Gabe?
They were all pretty good. I think I agreed with the rankings with mm-hmm. like who got first place. The Feel Special stage stood out to me. I think I mentioned this before, but like Woongi literally sings the entire chorus and then the rest of his group is just like dancing in the back.
I know. That was really, and that really sad. Like,
it was really sad, but it also like
it was good for him,
that,
wasn't it?
It like shot him up the rankings.
Yeah.
What was so shitty was like there was a Chinese member who was so hyped for that song. He had long hair, and he was like, this is my favorite song. This is what I'm going to pick. And then as he started prepping for it, he realized that it was like way out of his vocal range. Like he couldn't sing it at all. And yeah. that's why that Woongi kid had to sing everything, because like literally nobody in the group has range. And then when they announced the individual rankings for that song, that Chinese kid got like the highest ranking. And I was so pissed.
That's so sad.
Oh yeah, I remember that. I remember that.
That's not nice. I was so pissed. Like, yeah, he was giving on the stage, but like, did he do anything like leading up to it? No, he just caused drama. Yeah. That pissed me off so bad. Anyway, so after that, that challenge, they go into the second elimination. And the second elimination was kind of like broken. So what they did first was they announced the third challenge or the next challenge before the second elimination. And so the third challenge was called the artist battle, where like star creators, people on the app, got to vote what song they wanted each member to perform. And then once everyone was like already practicing the songs that the star creators chose for them, the second elimination happened. And if you got kicked out in the second elimination, then your group, like the remaining people in the group, had to reshuffle. So there were some groups that were left with like two people, which the performance had to have like minimum six or whatever. And then there were groups that had all their members stay, and they had to kick out members because it was only a six member song. And so it was like all types of curveballs there. But the second elimination or second survival announcement, it cut out another half of the contestants. And so the only people that remained were ranks 1 through 27. What was interesting about this was that the guy from Pentagon,
Huey
Hotek, Gunwook, which is one of my babies, and then Junhyun, they were announced as the ninth, like the potential ninth candidate, like the last person to be in the little center of the planet
within the confounds of the group.
Yeah, within the confounds of the group. And Gunwook placed ninth. So this was like the first time that that Pentagon guy was outside of the top nine.
Okay.
Which was sad. And then everyone else in the top nine was like pretty standard, you know, Hanbin number one, Zhanghao number two, Yujin number three. Like it was all like we already knew who the top nine were. So, like I said, the artist battle, which is the third challenge, after the second elimination, there was like this scramble. So they had one, like prior to the second elimination, they had 1 week to prep, the total of 2 weeks to prep. 1 week, the second elimination happened, and then they only had one more week to prep. And so it was like, For the people that remained in the song from the very beginning, like prior to the second elimination, they got a total of 2 weeks to prep for this song. Whereas if you had to recruit a brand new team or you got kicked out of your existing team, like you only had 1 week to prepare for your new song. So it already, I mean, the performances were pretty good. Like it didn't seem like any were bad. They all worked really hard, but in the lead up to the performance, they really stressed like how like stressful
some
that
had to scramble more than others given the circumstances.
Yeah,
probably, and then, especially the ones that were on the bottom of close to the 27, right?
Yeah, a lot of them were on closer to the bottom, and a lot of like a lot of those people were kicked out of their existing groups. Some of them left their groups because they felt like they could shine a little bit brighter in another group that didn't have like the top 1 through 5 people. But
I have a question.
Yeah,
so at this point, does production get a say in this re-scrambling after the second elimination? Oh, so this is all boys run.
Yeah.
Okay. Self-selected.
Yeah, self-selected. And so,
but then what if there's a controversy if like two people wanted that spot? They just talked it out?
Over it.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. So the way that the spots got filled up were more out of like people getting kicked out than people leaving their group, because nobody wanted to give up a week's worth of practice.
Correct.
You know?
Like, yeah, that makes sense.
So they were like, these people got kicked out, and then they just like chose a spot in whatever was available. Like there was, once you got kicked out, you just got to see what was available and then you went there. Like there wasn't any fighting on, like, I really wanted that song. Like, let's go sing it out. No, there wasn't. And then, so once the new groups were established, everyone had to retry out for their positions. Like you may have been had the killing part at the beginning, but now that we have new group members, everyone has
you
to
might
try
not
out
be
again.
The killer.
Right. And so that created a little bit of controversy for some people. A standout storyline was like this kid, Suk Matthew, Korean-Canadian. He was the sub-vocal one. And that team, the team that I'm referring to is Say My Name. That team didn't try out, like retry out for the parts. And in their practice, the other teammates realized like maybe he should be sub-vocal too. And he took it really, really hard. It was really sad because this is like my sister's favorite member. And it was one of my favorite members too, but like through his storyline throughout the show has kind of been like not very good. And his, so just a little bit about Suk Matthew. He was in the first ranking, he was number 2. Like everyone loved him. He was so cute. He had personality, whatever. And then throughout the different challenges, it showed different sides of him that weren't necessarily favorable. So for example,
like what? Yeah, for example, what?
He was the leader in one of the challenges and he was like really stressed out from the position and he ended up not being a very good leader. And it created a little bit of conflict for the members in that group because like they didn't have a strong presence to like drive them forward. And then in the following challenge, he wasn't leader, but he felt like because he did such a shit job the first time, he wanted to like make it up again by being like sub leader, which created a little bit of controversy between the chosen leader because it's like, I'm the leader. You should just go along with what I'm saying instead of like teaching your own way. You know, like you weren't chosen as the leader. Maybe you should just let it go. And then,
sorry, what is his nationality?
Canadian.
Canadian. Okay. I'm just curious. Yeah. He's the English speaking person, right?
Right. Okay. And then this happens in the artist battle where he gets a position, like he's told he has a position, and then the other teammates are basically like, for the sake of the group, you need a different position because this guy can sing it better. And I understand his point of view. Like, he really wanted that part, And he was really broken up that he had to change. And later he understood that this was for the benefit of the team. But it was like a big storyline where he was crying, you know, he was upset. Even the judges were like, why is your mood? This is a happy song. Why is your mood so down? Why are you bringing everyone's mood down? Like, it was bad. And he, like I said, he was ranked number two. And after this performance, he was number nine. Like,
So it made a difference.
It made, like, his storyline was like, yeah.
You know what's interesting? That happened to Lee Daewee too.
Oh, really?
Because he starts at number one and two because he's the center of the 101. But right. I think over time, it gets a little comfortable. It gets a little, you know, like,
sassy.
He is one of my most favorite idols. But he's a little bratty. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he's a little pushy. He stands out a lot. So there were qualities that I think people were picking up on. So he falls from like one to two to like almost 10, like late in the lineup.
Oh.
So he consistently falls throughout the entire thing, but like holds on just right there at the end.
Wow, that's interesting that happened to Lee Daewee because...
But he started as the center.
Right.
As the Kong Daniel of the entire show.
Yeah.
So that happened.
Poor kid, Matthew. But anyway, besides Matthew, the performances were really good overall. The songs that they performed were all original songs.
Mm-hmm.
So Supercharger, En Garde, Switch, Say My Name, and Over Me. I will say that my favorite was Say My Name, but the top ranking song was Over Me. And Say My Name was like cutie, like heart pop, you know, like school concept. Mm-hmm. Amazing. High teen. And then Over Me was R&B pop, sexy, red, like lots of
red
body
and black
rolls.
Yeah.
Floor humping, things like that. Oh. And this is maybe a hot take, but I don't think Over Me was that great.
Yeah, I don't think it was either.
But it was like your standard boy group sexy vibe.
Like, objectively, it wasn't that great.
Mm-hmm.
No, it wasn't. And I don't think so. Zhang Hao, which is the top ranking global member, he won the additional benefit for being like the best of that song, and I don't even think he was that good. Like, he wasn't really giving me sexy. I don't know. Yeah, overall I wish that Say My Name won, because that was a better performance in my opinion, but whatever, I didn't vote, so what do I have to say? And that's it.
Okay, Gabe is going to take over from here with the rest of the show.
All right, so after that, we get to the third elimination, where we narrow it down to 18 trainees. And I'm just going to mention some notable people that got cut. Haruto, who was... He's Japanese, and he was, I think, the leader of the Supercharger stage, which had a lot of struggles with, like, people leaving the group after getting eliminated. He was a fan favorite. And then Woong Yi, who did the Feel Special stage, he also got eliminated.
All right. So it was a temporary boost.
Yeah. Well, it was a boost, but it wasn't enough to like get him into the like the top tier, you know?
Yeah.
So from 27 to now, what? How many are we cutting here?
Eight. We have 18 people left now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So then Woongi got cut, and then Sowon got cut, who was, I think, one of Woongi's close friends on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And then Wang Zihao, who was a very popular Chinese trainee. He got cut as well. And then Takuto, which I'm happy about, because he had zero talent from day one, and he didn't actually improve that much throughout the entire thing. I
No.
have no idea how he got this far, to be completely honest.
Maybe people pitied him. He didn't, like, he was in the supercharger group that didn't, that was filled with, like, bottom-ranking people. And I would say that he didn't stand out. Like, he kept up with the rest of the group, but technically, like, he's the worst one there.
Yeah, no, he was definitely the worst one.
They kept him around for the personality, probably.
What personality? Oh, never mind, that's a separate conversation. Okay, so now we're down to 18 people, and we're going into the final stage. So the 18 trainees are split up into two groups of nine to perform two original songs from Mnet. And then the live broadcast of the final stage and the final kind of debut reveal happened in Seoul kind of right after Moonbin's passing. And it was held in the Chamsil Indoor Gymnasium, which had a capacity of 6,000. And there were over 60,000 people who were applying to get tickets.
There were only 6,000 people in that stadium? That stadium looked huge.
Yeah, it was only 6,000. So,
wow.
They had to, people were fighting over these tickets. So,
that makes sense.
They split up the 18 trainees into the two groups. And then during the final performance, or the final broadcast, they performed the signal song. So, the show's kind of like trademark song. And then they went into the different stages for each of the kind of two groups of nine. And so, in the final, so the way I kind of see the final stage, it's like by this time, all the voting has ended already. So like these performances are kind of just like, I mean, for me, I feel like these performances didn't mean anything in terms of the show ranking. It was just kind of like right. another opportunity to like showcase the idols and like promote the show. So the killing parts for each of the songs were decided by YouTube views and votes, or YouTube views and likes, sorry. So each of the 18 people.
Okay, that's really interesting that it's YouTube views
yeah.
and likes. Anyways, that's interesting.
So they had each of the 18 people perform the killing part, and then they would post it on YouTube, and then whichever trainee got the most views and likes ended up getting the killing part for the song. So for one of them, one of the songs called Hot Summer, which is kind of a sexy, sultry concept, Song Hanbin, who has been the center since kind of the first episode, he got the killing part. And then the other song, Jelly Pop, which is kind of like a bubbly high teen concept.
More high teen.
Yeah. Zhang Hao got the killing part for that one. So generally, I mean, the final stages were good. They lip synced, I think, all the lines. I think it was like a pre-recorded backtrack that they just put over the performance. So
yeah,
I mean, it's kind of whatever, but it kept the audience engaged because, you know, they can't sit there and just come in for just the elimination and leave. Like, they had to be entertained. So it got the job done. And then after they kind of do the performances, they revealed the debut lineup, which is the final top nine. And so, spoiler alert.
It's true.
Zhang Hao gets number one, and then Hanbin gets number two, which is like a huge reversal.
Yes.
What's been happening on the entire show?
And what's been happening, like in traditional Mnet survival shows, is that a Korean person will still always win.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Sakura never wins. Like against. Right, Ive girl. Oh my gosh, her name is passing my head right now. What is it?
Wonyoung.
Wonyoung, yeah. So that's really interesting in and of itself. Like, do we think that he actually got more votes? Like, I'm just curious from your perspective.
He did. I looked at the final breakdown of the votes, and since this time you can only vote for one person, it like everybody who was voting had to like pick their top choice.
Interesting.
It's sort of like, because like before in the other eliminations, you could pick multiple people. So like the one before, it's like you pick three people that you want in the group.
Like a top three of some sort.
Yeah, but then for this one, it was just pick one person. So I think it shows that Jon Hao had like the most dedicated fan base.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Was there another Chinese member that was in the lineup, in the final lineup?
Ricky. Yeah.
It's possible that there's less splitting of the votes among international fans that are not Korean.
That's true too. Yeah.
Because there's way more Korean boys to choose from. Probably.
That's true. There were other global members that made it, but they were Korean.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So like Matthew made the final lineup.
Yeah, what's the lineup?
Matthew's story. Can I just go into Matthew's story for a little bit? Because that was plot twist of the fucking century. So like I told you, Matthew has been declining throughout the entire show. And they call the members out. They start from number 8 all the way to number 1. And they're at number 3 right now. And they're still like 12 boys on the stage waiting to be called. You know, there's a lot of options. Some people that we knew were going to make it but haven't been called yet. And I didn't think Matthew had a chance because he was number 9 in the last elimination. I was like, this boy, he's caused too much drama. He's done. And then number 3, they call him and I literally screamed. Like, somehow the Suck Matthew fans rallied behind him and, like, boosted him back up to number 3.
Interesting.
So, it was a wild ride. Kind of, maybe like Lee Daewee, you know? It's interesting that you share that story because, like, what did Lee Daewee end as?
I don't, he definitely didn't come in within the top 3. He made it. It was a steady decline, and it wasn't like maybe mid late.
Whatever. At least he made it. But yeah, it was the comeback.
Actually, the same thing happened to him too. He jumped 7 spots from number 10 in the second to last ranking all the way up to lucky number 3.
Something is a little suspicious. Something
is in the water. I think that was the same. Wait, now that I'm thinking about it, that was my feeling too. I was like, wow, he ruffled a lot of feathers. He might not actually make this lineup. And there were still a good number of people that were still waiting to be called, including Kong Daniel and number 2. So I was right. Like, okay, he's not taking 1 or 2. So it's either 3 or bust. And,
yeah. And it was 3.
Well, it's either 3 or 10 or right. 11 at that point.
Right.
Which was a possibility. Okay, that's fishy.
Yes, it okay, is.
Anyways.
But yeah, go ahead, Nathan. Gabe, I just wanted to share that.
Yeah, so Matthew's who's the final lineup? So Matthew's 3. Who's the rest of the people?
Ricky is 4. Ricky's 4. Ricky had always kind of been outside the top 9. He was always popular, but never quite inside the top 9 positions. So but that was a little surprising.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was.
And then number 5 was Park Gonuk, which is Ashley's favorite.
Yes. Can I share a little bit about him?
Please? Yes.
So Gonuk, he's 18 years old. I forget what his entertainment company was. Maybe it's Yewa, but Jellyfish. He has always been like bottom of the rankings. He was number 12 in one elimination, then he was number 9 in the second elimination, then he went back down to like past top 9, and I think in the previous elimination, he was 12 or something. Like, he was out. And when they called him as 5th, I was shook. Shook. Because I was not expecting him to be there at all. Because he was, like, he's been fluctuating too much that it was, it just seemed like not possible. But I'm happy that he made it because I love him. I love him with all my heart.
Okay, Ashley.
He's my baby.
Okay, what number are we on here, Gabe?
So then Kim Tae-rae is number 6. Kim Gyu-bin, 7. And Gyu-bin had always kind of been in top 9, so it's not surprising. And then Kim Ji-young, number 8. And then Han Yoo-jin, number 9. Which was a little surprising because he had never dropped out of the top 5 up until this final episode. And so the number 9 spot, it was like between Han Yoo-jin and Jay and Park Hanbin, right? The three kind of remainder people. That was 9, 10, 11.
No, I thought it was... Oh, yeah, you're right. But didn't they show the Pentagon guy as a contender for number 9, too?
I don't remember.
I think they did.
So, Han Yoo-jin got 9th, Jay got 10th, Park Hanbin got 11th, Keita got 12th, and then Hui from Pentagon got 13th. And so I'm just going to say for the record right now that my prediction was correct.
It was.
They were calling the last person to make it to the debut lineup, and Hui did not make it, and he was just a little bit off. So yeah, that's the debut lineup. Overall, my thoughts are I wanted Jay to make it into the top 9. And I'm surprised that Keita didn't make it.
Yeah, I'm surprised either. Too.
I think that one was the one that I had seen the most, like, Keita was robbed. Hashtag.
Yeah.
I saw that a lot.
He was top 9 throughout the entire show, I think. And this was the only time he fell. Although, I'm not that upset that he didn't make it because he's already a debuted idol. I don't understand why he even went on the show.
Well, because, well, I can't tell you what group he's in. What group is he in?
He's in
Cypher.
Okay, yeah. Well, that's why there's still New Goose.
Yeah, but like, they've only been out for like a year. Their company is backed by Rain, you know? Like, they haven't been given a chance. And here he is trying to fill in a spot from a person who's still a trainee.
Well, it brings up, should these shows have debuted idols on them? Or because they're using them, like Mnet is using them for like initial views, at least a baseline level of views.
That's true.
Once they hit that on the newest episode, they never looked back to that strategy. That was always the strategy moving forward.
I mean, I think yes, they should keep including them because in the case of like Hui, I just feel so sad for him, honestly.
Like, I don't think he should have ever gone on the show, to be honest. Like, his ranking has just been dropping since the very first episode.
So what was his final ranking?
13.
Okay.
Yeah.
So didn't make it by quite a bit. Well, by 4.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Because, I just never got the feeling that he really wanted to, like, debut either.
Like, he was just kind of in it for the name boost temporarily.
Yeah, because, like, they had a segment where all the family members of all the trainees come and visit them and yada, yada, yada. And, like, people are crying and whatnot. And, like, Hui isn't. He's just, like, there. So, I don't know.
Interesting.
Yeah, it was weird.
Okay, so overall thoughts on the lineup, Gabe. Are you pretty satisfied?
I'm satisfied with it to a degree. I mean, I feel like out of the people in the top 18, so like the people who got eliminated, I feel like everybody in that last 18 people could have
done well. Like
Could have done well as an idol. So I mean, I think they'll be fine. I don't like Yuehua Entertainment, so that's
why.
Not really... Because they're just... Because it's Everglow's company and I'm still an Everglow anti.
Well, there's some backing there. Like...
A lot of the trainees are from Yehua.
Yeah, or which makes me feel like, why couldn't they just... They could have just debuted a freaking boy group on their own with the 8 Yuehua trainees that they put in the show. Like, why did they not just do that?
Well, that's what they're going to do after they come back.
Yeah.
So it's how long is the project group?
2 years. 2.5 years?
2.5.
That's a very long time.
I know.
These contracts have just been getting longer and longer. Like, IOI didn't even do one full cycle together. So, you know, they because they've been successful, so why not increase the contract time? That makes sense to me. So do you all think, now I'll ask you to do a little bit of crystal balling a little bit. How well is this group going to do? Like, does the public have trust in these survival made shows? And how are they going to do relative to Kepler?
It's funny you mentioned that, because the public trust, I thought it was going swimmingly well up to the final episode, but like Mnet, a couple days before the final broadcast, they released like a partial ranking thing. So they basically revealed that Kim Tae-rae was number 11, Park Hanbin was number 10, and then Song Hanbin was number 3. But that was the only 3 people they revealed. Everybody else was still a question mark. Yeah.
Why did they do that?
Because and so they people wanted think to that, rally. Like,
yeah, people Why are... think that Mnet was trying to like make rally people panic people. Vote for yeah, like Kim Tae-rae and Park Hanbin and Song Hanbin. So
I don't like that.
So I everything.
If you're
gonna
release
well
names, you better release the entire list up until
I
that
know,
point.
That's what I was saying. So. I feel like the public trust is still there, that it was made like fairly, but there's still there's still justified skepticism with
Correct.
How they did it. So
yeah,
Produce, what they did was did they have live voting, like this time around?
This one, no, they didn't.
Okay, on Produce they did like something similar. They did live voting, but they would show live like where the rankings were so people would panic vote during the live broadcast. Like so-and-so is number 12. You better get them up there. And it would like fluctuate the entire episode. Anyways, Ashley, sorry I interrupted you.
I agree with Gabe that I think public trust was there for the most part, but now that we're doing the comparison with like Lee Dae-wee, for example, that storyline, Lee Dae-wee, you know, Sook Matthew from this show, they even did it to Jungwon in Island. He was always like top member, and then in the final like ranking, he was up for elimination. Which made people panic vote for him. And it's like, they're forcing these storylines because they want specific members in the
group. Right, right. It can't be fully fan run. Like, that's just the nature of it.
Yeah. And maybe the votes are still all kosher, but it's the way
but
that
what
they
motivates
edit.
Those,
yeah.
What motivates those ups and downs, right?
The way that they're editing is still what's manipulating the votes.
That is really shady about the releasing of only 3 names. I don't like that at all. It did seem to me before I even heard that, or even after hearing that, that the public trust is there partially restored, I would think. That's my take on, as I'm hearing you all discuss Boys Planet, it does seem like it was less manipulated by production this time around. That's what it sounds like to me. So then my following question is, like, how's this group going to do? Like, survival shows have a very high, high standard and strong record. Like, I was just looking it up. X1 had 11 wins on their debut track. 101 had 15 wins. on their debut track. Like, what are we expecting out of Zero Base? Like, what are, sorry, what's this name? What's Zero Base One?
Zero Base Yes. One, aka ZB1.
ZB1, Zero Base One. Like, are we expecting, like, hitting it out of the park? Are we expecting Kepler, which is kind of like, in my book, high B tier? What do y'all think?
I think it depends on the song that they release. I think this group has potential to go higher than Kepler. Kepler had 3 wins with their debut. Mm. 2 of them were on M Countdown.
Come on now.
So I think this group has potential because, I mean, the show did really well.
Yeah.
And, like, people were really watching intently, I think. But I think right now it is a time where the girl groups are still dominating. So the competition is going to be fierce.
Yeah, they plan to debut in June, I believe. So next month. Maybe with a high teen summer track, you know?
That is the right way to go, to debut them right away.
Yeah.
That is the right way to do it.
Yeah.
Ashley, how do you think that they're going to do?
I think that they have to do better than Kepler, because Kepler is just not really doing well. I don't know, like...
Hot take alert.
And they...
Okay.
And they... like, in the weeks that this show aired, there were a lot of, like, soompy articles that said that this show was one of the top viewed shows of the week.
Buzz-rated, buzzworthy.
Yeah, so I would think that the popularity is there. It's just a matter of, is the song going to be good?
Hmm.
I'll say that I'll support. 2 of my children are in there. Gunwook and Gubin, my sweet babies.
So, the record, I do not understand why you like Gubin so much. I think he's mid.
Because he's so cute. He's like, I would say that his performance is definitely lacking. Like, he's not like killing part material, but I think he's tall and handsome. And
you think he's tall?
I mean, he's tall, he's handsome. These are facts.
Okay, there we go.
And you just need that really good looking member in there. And
that's true.
He's a baby. He's a sweet baby. At the final elimination, or at the final lineup, when his name was called, he cried so much that he couldn't even speak.
These boys be crying, though.
No, but he was sobbing. Like, they were, like, trying to get him to come on, you know? Like, you're holding up the show.
And you're holding up the 4-hour finale here. Come on, let's go.
And he could not get a word out.
Well, that's it's always nice to see their passion.
Yeah, and it was so cute too. As the other members were getting called, like, they'll pan over to the debuted members up on the high stage, and that boy still crying up at the top, you know, like he could not get over it. I love him.
I love that for you, Ashley. I love that for you, Ashley. Okay, any final thoughts on Zero Base One or key takeaways from this show from you all?
Before we wrap up. I will say the name, I feel like, is not good. They could have chosen so many.
Yeah, so what does that mean? What does Zero Base One mean? Is it like a supernatural concept? Is it a universe concept because it's planets?
It's like, I honestly don't know. They explained it in the thing, and I don't remember.
Hmm.
But it didn't stick. That's for sure.
I feel like just as an outsider, ZB1 has some kind of hit, some kind of ring to it. But yeah, ZB1.
I know, yeah, I feel think ZB1
it like
fine.
Goes off of the tongue like really easy.
Meh.
I think they could have done a better job, but that's just my opinion.
Well, you could knock on Mnet's door on that one. Yeah. Ashley, any final thoughts here?
I am really looking forward to this group. I think, and I'm also really looking forward to what's going to happen post this show, mm-hmm. you know, because like Hui, even though he didn't make the light up, he's been on the show for 3 months. Like, he has to come back with something. Like,
yeah, you got to come back immediately with these
those,
folks.
All
yeah.
those eliminated people that did really well, I'm sure they'll all come back with something. Like, even Cypher.
Yeah.
They'll probably come back with Keita. And then, like, I'm excited for post-ZB1. That Yehua group is going to be amazing. Like, they have Zhang Hao, Guvin, Ricky, Yujin, and then they have those like other people that got eliminated. Ollie, like I don't even know who else.
Is Ollie UEFA? Oh yeah, he is.
Yes, it is going to be.
That group is going to be really good.
And Brian.
Don't remember Brian, but.
Oh, okay.
Something's going to happen there for sure.
Yeah, so I'm really looking forward to like post activities from eliminated people and like.
Well, if you want to see ZB1, you're guaranteed to see them at KCON 2023. You heard it here on Idol Talk first.
Wait, really?
I mean, no! Most likely. They're an Mnet group. KCON is Mnet run. Like, they're going to be there.
That's true.
So.
And KCON LA is happening in August.
Correct. After their debut. So
2 months after their debut.
It's happening.
Oh my gosh.
I'm going to get us those media passes. We're going to get in there.
All right. We're going to do some interviews. I'll be here. All right. Okay. Any last thoughts before we close out?
I am also very excited to see what the eliminated people do moving forward.
Yeah, that's really
I
true.
Know Pentagon has a comeback coming up. They just announced it, actually.
Of course.
And then Jay, like, I was looking at the voting, and Jay was, like, dead last in terms of Korean votes, but he was, like, number 3 for global votes. So he has popularity. I feel like he just needs to, like, use it, and, like, maybe a company will snap him up. And
yeah.
Is he independent?
He's with a entertainment company, but I think it's a small one, FM. Oh, okay. Yeah.
There was a kid who made the top 18 who was an independent trainee.
Interesting.
And
yeah.
Sammy kept nicknaming him Eric Nam because somehow he looks like Eric Nam, but he doesn't. He really doesn't. Anyway, I'm excited for his activities because out of everyone on the show, he's an individual trainee and he's going to get signed. Like, that's a huge deal.
It was a huge opportunity for him.
He started at number 73 and ended number 18.
We love a good rising story.
Yes.
Okay. On that note, I will chime in one, you know, and just say on the record, I feel like you all talking about the show has boosted my faith in these types of shows again.
Okay.
So I will end on that positive note. I think something good happened here, and I hope that Zero Base One thrives in the next couple months.
Fighting!
Okay, with that being said, thank you to all of our listeners for tuning into this episode. We are on Instagram at Idol Talk Pod. Please rate, review, and subscribe to us on all of our major podcast directories and streaming platforms. We also have our website, idletalkpod.uwu.ai, where you'll see previous episodes categorized, song recommendations, playlists, and all of the above on that website, as well as information about us where you can see there. And until next time, We will be back with another K-pop episode, so stay tuned for that, and we'll talk to y'all later. Goodbye.
Bye.
I'm Vivian Yoon. Listen to K-pop Dreaming from Elias Studios. I grew up in Koreatown in the 90s, and my friends and I could not get enough of K-pop.
Do you remember SES?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Come true.
So how did the music that only Korean and Korean Americans listen to become a global cultural force? And what role did LA and Koreatown play in K-pop's rise? K-pop Dreaming. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.